In the name of Jesus the Crucified, Amen. So we've just read from Luke's Gospel, the very center of the Christian faith, the very good news of Jesus, His passion, His heart given for us, His whole life on the cross. And from Luke's Gospel, we hear this. Jesus calling out with a loud voice said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, He breathed His last. When the centurion, the Roman soldier, saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." There's a theme, I don't know if you caught it in our reading, from Luke, in the Passion of Jesus, that Jesus is innocent. He's counted innocent by Pilate. He's counted innocent by the centurion. He's counted innocent even by the criminal, who is very guilty. Jesus is called innocent throughout. The centurion is the Roman officer, the one overseeing all this execution of Jesus. Jesus is innocent. He dies the death of the condemned on the cross. Thank God for the should have been. The should have been. Sometimes the word should, right, can mean we need to do something, like you should get going. I should eat better. I should focus on the grace of Christ more. I should stop complaining. Sometimes the word should can mean regret, can it? I should have done things differently. If only I should have tried more. Sometimes the word should can add up the pains of the past. Should have, could have, would have, gone. Sometimes the word should can run up the pressures of the future. Should do and don't do. I like to take all those shoulds that we have in our hearts, in our minds, in our mouths. I'd like today to focus all those shoulds on Jesus Christ. What He has done for our salvation. There's no should. There's only salvation. For all the pains of our past, for all that we should have done and didn't do it, for all the points of life that should have gone differently, there's the should have been of Jesus. There's salvation. Jesus takes all the shoulds and makes them His own. He substitutes His life for our life. He takes should and makes it salvation. The shoulds have all been met in Jesus. It's accurate to say, right, to say this as doctrine, Christ substituted Himself for the world for salvation, but it's life-changing to say that Christ substituted Himself for me and for you. Thank God for the should have been. Because after all, Jesus is the only one Luke shows us who is innocent, meaning no one else is. And if you think you are, why did you confess your sins at the beginning of service? Look a little into the heart. We know we're not. It should have been you. It should have been me on the cross. We're sinners. All of us have sinned and fallen short of that glory of God. And God demands throughout Scripture for sin sacrifice. He demands it. What we could not do, Christ does for us. While we were still sinners, Christ sacrificed Himself for us. The innocent one for the guilty. The innocent for the criminal. Christ substitutes Himself for us on the cross. And nothing is the same again. Like the centurion, we echo, certainly this man was innocent. He was no sin. It's life-changing to say Christ substituted Himself for me. For Christ, who was no sin, became our sin, that we might become the righteousness of God, that we might be seen as innocent before God for Christ's sake, the forgiveness of sins that Christ gives. So much of our gospel reading from Luke happens, did you notice, in a courtroom scene? We're near the city courts here in Lower Manhattan. It's like being accused in court, isn't it? Jesus is accused not in one court, but multiple courts. He's found innocent and yet given over to death. Isn't this the analogy of our life in the courtroom? Accused for our sin, for our negligence to God and His ways. All those should surface, don't they, in the accusation. You should have not done this. You should have did this. And there's bitterness and there's guilt and there's blame and there's shame and there's pain. The courtroom scene, all the sins that we've done, sinners we are, condemned before God, all of us. And God the Father, in His justice, hands down the verdict. The Holy Almighty God is perfect. He's shown us the way. There's no should in what God's will says to us, a will we daily break. He hammers down the decree, doesn't He? Guilty. We know it. Guilty. Guilty in every way. No escape. And that sentence, it crushes. The sentence. Death. We can try and bury it, but it lurks and it's there and it stinks. Because the wages of sin is death. Death now, death eternally, separate from our Holy Almighty God. Isn't that the courtroom drama that plays out in our consciences and in our lives, just like it played out for Jesus? And what happens? You see, at that moment, Jesus, God's Son, stands up, and He takes the should and the scorn and the abuse. Christ, the Messiah, the Chosen One, He chooses, out of His own free will, to take my place and to take your place. He stands up in court, a corrupt court of our sin, and He takes it. And He takes it all away with Him in passion to the cross. Christ substitutes Himself for us. He takes our place. He who was innocent becomes the sinner, pays the sentence of our sin, the sorrows, the pains, the blame, the shame. And somehow, in this blood and anguish and should have been, Jesus calls out with a clear, loud voice, the first thing He says from the cross, "Forgive them, Father. Forgive them." And somehow He calls out, as Luke tells us, last word from the cross, "Father, into Your hands I commit my spirit. I commit my spirit for You and for all those sinners I came to save. For this I breathe my last." It's a loud voice of mission completed. Christ's mission to save the world from sin, to take my place and your place in all places, all sinners. You know, it's accurate to say that, right? That Christ substituted Himself for the world. It's wonderful to give it the title of atonement full in Christ. It is such an important doctrine, the most important. But it's life-changing, right, to realize each year that He substituted Himself for you and for me. To thank God for the should have been. Holy Week, a time to realize what should have been. Should have been us. Should have been being betrayed on Thursday, beaten, arrested. Should have been us, sacrificed. Should have been us before God. Should have been us, crushed. Should have been. Lives changed with the passion and love of Jesus, the center of our faith. As we think about the should have beens of our failures, the should have been of different places of pain, the should have been situations of our life which the sinful world presses upon us, the should have beens of out of control, we see the should have been of me and you on the cross. Jesus does not say on the cross, "We should forgive others." He knows how hard this is for us. He knows we don't want to really do it. It's even impossible. Jesus says, "Father, forgive." His words say it. They mean it. They do it. For our forgiveness, our life and salvation. As we consider the should have been of different scenarios in life, how things should have been different, there's this innocent Son on the cross. There's this innocent one, the Savior who takes our place in our sin and our death for all that should have been. All not for the should, but for the salvation. For you, for me, nothing can take that away. forgiveness from God forever. No should can rob us of Jesus Christ's death for us. After all, the cross is empty. It's empty of you and me. We're not there. It's empty even of Jesus who gives his life. See, he's risen, he lives, and we have the promise of life and death. By his death, he destroys the power of should have been and death itself. And Jesus takes the should have been me and should have been you far away, as the east is from the west, to rise in the east the new day that lasts forever. The resurrection. The sure promises of his forgiveness here in time, there in eternity. The should have been me is now forgiven and freed. Full stop. In Christ, from the pains and burdens of sin and regret, there's the realization that Christ forgives us and frees us. You know what happens when we leave that courtroom of God? Back to the courtroom drama and scene. Back to those dark, difficult points in our lives when we wrestle with guilt and shame and should have been's. What happens when we feel that accusation and we realize that the cross is empty of sin and empty of death and empty of you and me and even empty of Jesus? He lives. His victory is our salvation, is for us. What happens then as we watch from a distance Jesus going the distance for us? What happens then? Wow, this man was innocent. No doubt. Just like the centurion. No doubt about it. There is no doubt. There's no should. This is love. Never seen anything like this before. And if this doesn't change how we live our lives, I don't know what will. It was the will of the Lord to crush him, to put him to grief. The will of the Lord to save and forgive us through his death. We thank God for the should have been. Should have been you, should have been me, and it's Christ instead. It's life-changing to say it and to live it. Christ died for me. Christ substituted himself for me. And this changes then how I see myself forgiven, freed, and how you see each other forgiven, freed. Forgiven, freed all of us. We're all recipients of this grace, this forgiveness of sins, this life, this salvation in Jesus. All of us need this grace given, this forgiveness of Jesus, this life-changing Christ died for us. Realize it. Live it. The forgiveness of Christ has the power to change our past to forgiven, to put our future secure in eternal life. Amen.